Yvette again from the Financial Gym, and thank you very much for listening to the second in my installments regarding how to keep your business financially fit. Well, I say second installment, this is the first part, and we're going to cover the bit that makes most people go, oh, and it's planning. With finances as well as fitness, before you begin, you need to understand why you're doing it. Is it to have more money, to be slimmer, get fitter, buy nice things? These are tangible results, but I bet if you were to look more closely, they're not the real motivations. Only a few people really want to spend time working out just for the sake of it, and staying up late at night or going into the office at weekends just so you can juggle money to see if you've got enough is really not many people's idea of a fun time. In the last audio, I shared some of my underlying motivators with you. Remember when I talked about the carrots and the sticks? Well, motivators around our bodies and our physique could reveal things like self-esteem, just probably wanting to feel better about yourself. You want to improve or reduce health and health problems. A response to negative feedback about your appearance from others. Somebody said something, the response you get when you wear certain clothes, a special event like getting married, or maybe you want to run a marathon for charity. These are things that will get you up and exercising or trying to improve your health. What about financial motivators though? They could be fear of failure or poverty, which was a big one for me. Maybe you have a mission or a higher purpose that you want to achieve, and you need to get the money to allow you to do it. You want to improve the life of others in some way or promote a message, and money will help you get that message out there. You want people close to you to be proud of you. Maybe you want to prove people wrong about you, you know, who may have been derogatory about your ideas or your abilities. Or you want to be famous. You want to be held in high regard by your peers or within an industry. And also, you want to be part of a business or social group, and having the right money, or the right amount of money, I should say, will get you in there much quicker. There are business groups out there that won't allow you in unless you are earning or your business turns over a minimum of $1 million. Even a lot of business coaches won't take you on if your business is under the £1 million mark. Once you know what is driving you, be honest about it. Even if it is just to yourself, and use that as the fuel to propel your planning. Planning finances, really, believe me, is a lot more interesting when you realize that it's the foundation for you having what you want. What does financial planning for a business entail? What is it you need? Well, let's start with two words that have been known to send even the most hardened of entrepreneurs into a panic mode. What are those words? Business plan. Now, even though I'm speaking from a financial viewpoint, your business plan essentially is made up of three main areas. One, the sales and marketing activities. How are you going to find your customers and get them to buy from you? Two, the operation side. Now you've got your customers and they're buying from you. How do you get the service or the product to them effectively and efficiently and in such a way that they come back? And how are you going to administer that, manage it behind the scenes, actually within your business? And thirdly, of course, the money side. The first two areas deal with how the money is made. What you sell, as I said, how you sell it, all the things to do with making money. But the financial section, what this documents is the result of how well you plan to handle the other two areas, or if you're already been running your business, how well you have been running those other two areas. The money management, as important as it is just a reflection of the other parts of your business. So while it doesn't help in itself to generate income, or it doesn't in itself generate income, it is invaluable as a means of monitoring progress and growth, or if that's the case, decline. In my experience, It's not that people don't want to do it or have a business plan. It is much more to do with just not knowing where to start or struggling to find the time to do the work necessary to complete one. As with most tasks these days, you don't have to do it yourself. Get help or outsource it altogether. But remember, this is your future you're dealing with, so you still need to be prepared to provide valuable input. A colleague of mine recently did a business plan for a couple who were investigating a new business venture, which required them to produce a large amount of money just to get it off the ground. My colleague carried out a comprehensive plan for them, much bigger than a lot of people really need, but nonetheless thought it was warranted in this case. It included doing not just the standard figures about sales, marketing, operations, but quite a bit of market research and competitor analysis. The report, when it came back, was not favourable. It highlighted some big discrepancies in the couple's assumptions. But most worryingly, the thing that came up was that they were about to enter what was effectively a dying market, where there were better alternatives to their product already coming out. And as such, any investment from outsiders, which was part of their plan, would be difficult, if not non-existent. They were going into it because it was an area that they really understood from their employment days. But it just goes to show that just because you're good at something doesn't mean that's what you should do for a business. So two lessons learnt. An investment in an expert can save you time, money, and stress in the long run, as they rely on expertise and experience and can be more objective than we can ever be. Because remember, you know, the business, it's your baby, isn't it? And the other lesson was what costly mistakes can be made if we don't plan properly. The couple would inevitably have drawn the same conclusions, but by then it may have been too late to turn back before they'd gone too deeply into what they were going to do. Happily, they did go ahead with the business, but only after rethinking their approach to the marketplace and ensuring that what they were offering would be wanted and be profitable. Statistics show that one in every three new businesses will have closed or changed to something else within 3 years of starting up. And of those still going, at least another third will not make it past 5 years. Now, depending on who you listen to or what report you read, the numbers vary. But the message remains the same. The majority of business people approaching their bank for an overdraft or a loan do not have adequate data to support their application. So while I accept getting money out of banks is like getting blood out of a stone, especially now, I should say, with the climate as it is, the quality of the information they are given to work with is all too often, well, at best lacking, and at worst, there is none. There are very good businesses that have gone to the wall due to lack of investment or the ability to borrow in time. It is madness to make an already tough process even harder when you could, with a little bit of effort, tip the odds in your favour just by being prepared. For those that love numbers or are number savvy, let's look at the standard financial data that you would most commonly expect to find in a successful business, but require time and knowledge to achieve. For those of you that find it all too complicated, even though they know they should do something, right now you can only cope with the bare minimum. Is that what you're telling me? Well, I'll just deal with the bare minimum so that you know what you need to get by without getting yourself into trouble. I will talk through the various items only briefly. If you need more detailed guidance and specific examples to help you get started, please, you're most welcome to contact me. You can get me at Facebook at www.facebook.com/financialgymforbusiness. My Twitter name is at PS, that's P for Peter, S for Sierra, _financialgym. Or go to the website www.financialgymforbusiness.com and send me a message via the contact form. And then I'll come back to you and we'll see what we can do. Anyway, firstly, if you're a startup, then of course you're going to look at what you need to get going. is that absolutely frightening. How many startups just start up? Now, I know, you know, business gurus and, you know, business experts who want to keep you going and to show you how to get things done say, just get on with it. And I totally agree with that. Just get in and get your hands dirty. But have some intelligence before you do so. If you're going to be selling goods, you need to know what stock you need to buy to resell. You need to know, in addition, what kind of equipment you need, if you need any, not just to help you produce stuff, but equipment that you need yourself just to maybe run your office day to day, your overheads, day to day expenses, telephone, that type of thing. How will you survive until the money starts to come in? And where will there be other costs, particularly in the area of maybe staff? If it's just you, then you could maybe be outsourcing to freelancers, a virtual assistant. Maybe your husband or your wife is helping. But there's always a cost involved, even if you're not physically parting with money. It could just be time, and that needs to be factored in. The odds are it will take you longer to get sales than you anticipate, and you will spend more than you expected on things that you didn't realize you needed, which will result often in a shortage of cash at a time when you don't have a cash reserve to cover it. So, if you have not planned for how to fund your business while it ramps up, you're asking for trouble. The other thing is sales. You need to forecast the amount of sales you will need to make each month to achieve the income you have planned for. Now, of course, you may not do that in your first month, your second month. You may not even do it in your first year. But have a forecast as to where you're headed. 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. And then you've got something to work towards. Because what that will dictate is what you charge for things. How you deliver. So if you've decided that you want to earn £5,000 a month and you charge £50 an hour, you know that you need to sell 100 hours of whatever it is you do for that time to make that £5,000 per month. Now, I accept this is a very simplistic view because it assumes that you're working all the time. And so, of course, we know you have to allow for quiet periods and holidays. The worrying thing is, as well, in the early days, much of your free time could be mainly due to those quiet periods because things are slow, as opposed to it actually being you're on holiday, which the majority of startup business owners can't afford to take anyway. For those of you who sell products, the principle's the same. How many units of your product, at what price, will you need to sell to achieve the amount of money you forecasted you need to make? In addition to establishing the target sales, it's also useful to know the minimum sales you need to make before you are making a loss. This is called the break-even figure and is the point at which you are making neither a profit nor a loss. Very simplistic way of putting it. It doesn't quite work that way, and there's a calculation that one does to give you a really accurate figure. But that's just to give you an idea. So if your sales regularly dip below this amount while your expenses remain the same, this is a recipe for disaster. Even though you may not have traded yet, create a profit and loss budget. This is a breakdown of how much you plan to sell, i.e. your revenue or income, if you like, minus how much you need to spend to make those sales. Once you've got that figure, you then need to take off the expenses you expect to incur while running your business to see how much profit you make. So what sometimes is confusing to people is it's the difference between what's my gross profit and my net profit. So the first thing you're looking at is this is how much I plan to sell in a month. So if I plan to sell £1,000 in a month, that's my sales. That's my sales target. To make those sales, every time I spend £10, it costs me X amount to create that pair of shoes or to take in that freelancer at £10 an hour. So you work out what those materials or those external contractors cost you. And it could mean it comes to £300. So you've made £1,000 in sales. It's cost you £300 in materials or contractors or whatever it is. Your gross profit is £700. So that's your gross profit there, you know, but it's not for yours to take just yet. because after you factor in those things, you've now got your overheads or your expenses, the things that you need to run your business that regardless of how many sales you make, still need to be paid for. You know, so if you're working from home, there probably aren't that many things, you know, running your mobile phone, maybe voice over IP, you have a broadband, that type of thing. But often you've got other things such as rent, staff wages, if you have staff, ongoing subscriptions, telephone, as I say. Now, those things altogether could come to another £200. So you've made £1,000 in sales. It's cost you £300 in variable or direct costs, as we call them. So you've got your £700 gross profit. And then from that, you'll take away the £200 of overheads stroke expenses, which now leaves you with £500, and that's your net profit. And that £500 is yours to keep after taxes. Because you've made a profit, there will be tax to be added to that or taken away from that. But nonetheless, for the purposes of this illustration, after that, you've got 500. So in a nutshell, those three things are the basis of a profit and loss account. And those are the three things that you need to be looking at and saying, if I forecast for the next 3 months, 6 months, the next year, if you're looking to get funding, you're going to have to forecast further down the line than that. This is what I expect to make. And they should tie in with your break-even figure as well. Also, a quick note, and this is just one of my things. Let's look at the word budget. Now, in our personal finances, a budget is something that you stay within. This is the amount of money I have, and I can't go over it, otherwise I'm into my overdraft, for example. But for the purposes of business, can I challenge you to rethink that word? Because for business, I believe a budget should be something that you treat as being broken, something that you bust through and go above, so that, you know, you're not working under this glass ceiling. If it helps, substitute the word budget for forecast. I use them interchangeably, but I do actually use forecast quite a bit. Whatever it takes to remove any constraints on your mind and on your targets, that's the word or term that you use, so that your mindset is saying, I'm going to exceed these expectations. Don't be pushed down by a budget. Be inspired by one. And now the real test of financial fitness. Step forward, the king of the reports, the balance sheet. This is the one that actually most people don't look at a lot of the time because they don't understand it. And they don't actually know what it means to them and their individual business. Profit and loss, even if you don't understand the mechanics of it, most people in business know what it is and they understand what it does. And the information from it is relevant to them. They can deal with, I sold this, it cost me this, I made this. The balance sheet is more of a moving target because what it is showing you is what your business is worth at any point in time. What the balance sheet is saying is, at this point in time, these are the things that I own. These are my assets. These are the things that I owe money for. And this is the money that I have. So what it's actually saying is, do I own more or am I worth more than I owe? Do I have enough money to cover the things that I need to pay for down the line? Am I cash rich or am I cash poor? Do I have lots of assets or do I have lots of debt? So what the outcome of the balance sheet is, the activity in the profit and loss tells you what you're doing by when you're trading between a period of time and a period of time. What the balance sheet is saying is this is how it's left your business. Your profit and loss figures show you the profit is made, as I say. But it will not show you that you have very little cash. Too much, too little, that you've got no stock, that you're holding on to too much stock. Or that you've got lots of sales that haven't been paid yet, you haven't had the money yet. That's what the balance sheet does. What do you want your balance sheet to look like? Well, you may decide that I want my balance sheet to be made up of lots of stock, so I know that I'm always ready to make a sale when I want to. Problem with that is if you're tight for cash and you've got lots of stock, it's very difficult to turn that into cash if you need it quickly, unless of course you're making lots of sales. You may decide that actually I want my balance sheet to be made up of lots of cash. I don't trust other things at the moment. As long as I know that there's lots of cash in the bank, I'm happy. Could be assets. A lot of businesses are made up of quite big property portfolios. A lot of our famous entrepreneurs made money doing what they do, but they really, really built their fortunes when they started investing in things like property and stocks and shares. Now, I'm not saying that we all jump in and do that, because in themselves, all these areas are an art form. And without proper guidance, please don't go down those routes unless you really do know what you're doing. But what I'm saying is, regardless of the ins and outs of them, if you decide that that's the way that you want your business to show its worth, then that's how your balance sheet will reflect. You got lots of property, then you'll be very asset rich in that respect. If you just want lots of cash, your balance sheet will show that. Though it's one of the areas that a lot of people ignore, it's what your investors, financial advisors, coaches, that's where they look a lot of the time to have a better understanding of the value and the state of your business at the moment. Last but not least, in fact, to me, my most important one, and the one that if I never get around to anything else when I talk to business owners, this is the one you need to do. Cash flow. How much money do I need to pay my expenses and liabilities at any given time? Or, to turn it on its head, will there be enough money available to cover my expenses at the time I need it? I would go as far as to say that if you do no other form of bookkeeping or accounting, at the very least, understand the movement of your cash. No profit leads to no cash. No cash leads to no business. Most business owners have no real idea what their cash flow is. A reduction in money at the bank on a consistent basis is usually the first indicator that all is not well. Business owners that track their cash flow see this coming. Rather than reacting to the money not being there, they can anticipate it and plan for it. Yeah, planning, here we go again. Another tip, if money's tight, if you need to, do a daily cash forecast. It doesn't have to be a spreadsheet. You know, I do workshops where I show people how to do cash flows, or how to keep a handle on their cash, and also how to do a budget, neither of them using a spreadsheet, just so they understand what needs to be done and what is happening. Get your bookkeeper, your accountant, to help you with a spreadsheet version. Or even a diary of payments out is a start. You know, create a separate calendar on Outlook or Google Calendar, whatever you use, and schedule the payments in. For larger businesses or those with lots of outgoings, this is possibly too simplistic a method, but you'll be surprised at what I have seen work for people. You know, we're too worried sometimes about doing something that other people think makes sense, and actually it's what makes sense to us and gets the job done that often needs to be the priority, at least to begin with. However you can get the information you need that will help you, that is what you need to do. Also, bear in mind that if you're just starting out or you're in the early stages, and I'm going to assume that you're one of the really good ones and you've got all this forecasting done, I hate to tell you this, most of it is going to be wrong anyway. Remember, you have no history to use as a foundation. So for most of you, unless you have invested in a well-researched business plan, and even then, you will be relying quite a lot on educated guesswork. But don't worry, we all have to start somewhere. For those that have been in business for a while, your forecasting is sorted. This month's profit and loss is next month's budget forecast. You just take the figures and use them. You might tweak them because the figures that you've had this month are what actually happened. And if it doesn't match what you plan to happen, then what all that also tells you is how far away from your magic numbers you are. Anyway, that's all for part two of keeping your business financially fit. I hope you'll join me for part three of this series, where we'll look more closely at the money coming in and the money coming out. This is Georgette Rowland of The Financial Gym. Thank you for listening. And until the next time, be good for others, be good to yourself, and take care.